Hello, and welcome to this episode of Exposition, the Arts and Culture Podcast. I'm your host, Ella Tinsley, and today in the studio, we have Professor Gurka presenting the Double Feature Opera, a show coming up for the River Campus. Go ahead and introduce yourself, would you?
My name's Chris Gurka. I'm professor of music at the Department of Music. I specialize in voice and opera, but I do a lot of other classes as well.
Wonderful. Yeah. Welcome in.
Thank you.
So tell me about this upcoming opera performance, a double feature,
I think it is. Yes, we're doing 2 one-act operas as one performance. So we do the first one act, is the first half, to have a little intermission, then we come back and do the second one act. The two shows are Dido and Aeneas, and that's by Purcell. It's one of the earliest, if not the earliest, surviving English language operas. So it dates from about 1685. That's a beautiful piece, very famous, got some gorgeous music in it. The very famous Dido's Lament is from that opera, and we hear college students cover that aria all the time. It's kind of part of the basic literature. It's a tragic story, though, of love between Dido and Aeneas, and kind of the, I guess you'd say, the spirits, the gods, there's a sorceress that gets involved and really complicates everything. So it makes it so that they break up and he leaves. Mm-hmm. I guess I don't want to spoil the ending too much. But
right. I mean, you know how tragedies end.
Yeah, no, right? and it's a tragic love story, again, with some gorgeous music, and we'll have some dancing in that as well.
Oh.
There are 2 or 3 or 4 dances in the show. A couple of those will be covered by dancers from the Conservatory of Theater and Dance, and some of them will be covered by the cast. So it really integrates that movement all the way through the show. So that's Dido and Aeneas, and then we have an intermission, and we come back with a show called Alcina, and this is by Handel. Originally, probably a 3.5-hour opera, but we were able to find a shortened version of this show by Milwaukee Opera Theater. They did a one-act version of the show, which we came across through colleagues in the opera world, I guess. We read the script and just think it's really funny and fun, and so we're going to do this version. This version, we do the singing in Italian.
Oh.
But the dialogue, yes, opera can have dialogue. The dialogue is all in English. So we kind of tell the story with the dialogue in between numbers, and then each character has 1 or 2 opportunities to sing about a great emotion that they have, which is usually what an aria is, a time to reflect on deep, deep emotions. And it's, like I said, it's comedy, it's a fantasy, it's about a sorceress on this island, and her name is Alcina, and her magic powers are that she can cast a spell on you, and make you fall in love with her. When she's done with you, she will turn you into an inanimate object. So it could be a cello, a bass, a potted plant, a rock, a tree, anything like that. And on this island are also her sister, Morgana. Morgana doesn't have magic powers, but also has a love interest. Both stories, by the way, involve shipwrecks, and I didn't plan that, but they do. So there's a shipwreck in this story also, and a young man named Ruggiero is shipwrecked on the island. Alcina falls in love with him, of course, casts the spell on him, and Ruggiero's fiance comes looking for him, and she has to disguise herself as a man. So we have a lot of disguises and people appearing as they're not, and trickery that way. And so the story follows Ruggiero and his fiance, the fiance trying to get back together with Ruggiero.
Mm-hmm.
And they have to kind of trick Alcina into doing that. But it's very, very funny. In this version, the people that put it together, they actually added a narrator. And the narrator is very cool and kind of tells the action as we go along and sometimes interplays with the characters a little bit, and then sometimes is just a narrator, right?
More actively narrating.
Yeah, exactly.
You see.
So it's a really fun combination of the original arias in Italian and this fun way of tying the story together.
Mm-hmm.
We are telling the story as it was originally told. We're just telling it a lot shorter than it would have been. So those are the two shows.
It's very digestible.
Yes. Yeah, very much so. We do both shows on both performances. So Friday night, the 16th of January, and then Sunday afternoon is a matinee. That's the 18th. We also do what we call an opera for schools performance. I wouldn't say it's closed, but it's by invitation. We send out invitations to all the area schools, private and public, and we tell them a little bit about the shows, and they bring students to a morning closed rehearsal, I guess you might say.
Mm-hmm.
And we've had great response with that. We've done it for, I don't know, maybe a dozen years now. And the kids love opera. They're cheering for the characters. They're booing for the villains. They're, you know, they're really in it. They're clapping and following along. So it really is accessible for all ages. We have done our operas here for the last maybe 12 years again with super titles. So we project, even if we're singing in English, we project the text of anything that's being sung above, because we understand that it can be difficult to understand sung lyrics. And we certainly would do that for anything we do in a foreign language. So for both shows, we're doing super titles. So Dido and Aeneas is actually in English. That's the original language. We're doing that. But we'll still use the super titles when they sing in English. And then for Alcina, when they sing in Italian, yes, we'll put the translation up there so people can follow along and know what they're singing about. We don't do the super titles for dialogue. They learn early on to project and to always face forward as much as possible and to really use a stage voice in the, I guess, the old-fashioned way without microphones. So that's a blessing and a curse. It's something that we don't have to tech. We don't have to worry about microphones for the singers. And as long as they're prepared and practice that in the space, they do great.
I must say, it's interesting to see that some of the theater and dance people are getting into this.
Absolutely. We love that. We open up the auditions for all students, regardless of major. So we've had business majors and sociology, psychology majors in the past. But of course, yes, we love having theater and dance students involved. We have a number of them involved in various ways. Principals, as well as ensemble parts. And it's a real nice mix of music and theater and dance students in these casts. And I love doing that. I love having our students get to learn from another area.
Right.
And I guess you could say that of all actors, everybody brings maybe a different perspective to the stage, and you feed off of that and you learn from it. And it informs your performance, and your performance informs their performance. And it's really a wonderful melting pot of ideas and talents. They get along great, and I just love working with all of them, and I love seeing them work together so well. They just come together. And this is the way it is in the professional world. It's not camps. You get hired to do a job, that's the camp. Everybody's there on that job, doing the best they can. Doesn't matter the background. And that's what I see when these students come together for a show that you would think, oh, that's just a music department thing. No, it's not. It's for everybody.
Right. And I love to see that bridge, especially because River Campus and Main Campus can be kind of isolated
in their own little islands. I mean, it's a separate spot.
So it's wonderful to see that bridge, because we're all still, you know, one campus, one arts department.
The more we can bring students and faculty together from different areas, we all learn and benefit from that. I have learned so much by working with colleagues outside my department. I learn from colleagues within my department, don't get me wrong. I always benefit from collaborations of all sorts. It's amazing if you keep your mind open to learning from in different ways. I just feel like I'm still learning, and I've done this a long time.
Right. I don't have any more questions for you, so unless there's anything you'd just like to note.
Well, I think it's going to be a fun night of singing and drama and storytelling in different ways. You know, we storytell through arias, through music, through dance, through visuals, you know, costumes, scenery, all of that. That's one of the great things about opera, is it brings together all the art forms, literature, music, all the visual arts. We're integrating, for the second one act, we're actually going to integrate live video during that performance. And we've never done that before. But we have a new set of cameras that were just installed this past semester that enable us to record rehearsals or to webcast live, that kind of thing. But we're going to use them in the performance to project close-up images of the cast while they're I'm super excited about that. Something I've always wanted to do. We finally have the technology to make that happen. So again, it's a fun night of storytelling. Altogether, the evening will be about probably 2 hours, 15 minutes with the intermission. So it's not incredibly long, but there's a lot there for a lot of people, and I think it'll be very enjoyable.
Wonderful. Thank you again so much for coming in and speaking with me today.
Thank you for inviting me.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Exposition. I'm your host, Ella Tinsley, and I will see you next time.